Imagine locking the heavy steel doors of your network perimeter, turning on the multi-million dollar alarm systems, and handing the keys over to your most trusted security guard.
Right.
Only to realize the guard is the exact mechanism letting the intruders inside. Welcome to today's deep dive. I'm taking a really fast-paced, high-impact approach for you today.
Yeah, we're zeroing in on three critical security developments that all share this, well, frankly, this terrifying narrative thread.
It's wild. Oh. The very systems designed to protect and manage access to your environment are actively being weaponized.
It's a massive paradigm shift. We're calling it the vulnerable gatekeepers. I mean, historically, threat actors looked for, you know, a weak application or maybe a gullible employee to gain a foothold.
Yeah, the usual suspects.
Exactly. But what we are seeing across the threat landscape today is a really concentrated effort to compromise the security infrastructure itself. The firewalls, the internal authentication modules, the server control panels.
Right, because when the lock on the door becomes the vulnerability, your entire threat model just has to be reevaluated from the ground up.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's unpack this. If we start at the absolute edge of the network, your firewall is effectively your front door. And right now, Palo Alto Networks has a massive fire on their hands.
Oh, yeah. They do?
We are looking at CVE-2026-0300. It's a critical vulnerability in their PAN-OS software, specifically targeting the user ID authentication portal, you know, commonly known as the captive portal.
The mechanism of this vulnerability is, it's what makes it so severe. It's an unauthenticated buffer overflow.
And unauthenticated is the key word there.
Right. In a secure architecture, the captive portal is designed to intercept network traffic and force a user to authenticate before they can proceed.
To prove who they are.
Yeah, but because of this flaw, an attacker doesn't need to authenticate. They don't need stolen credentials at all. They simply send a specially crafted, like, oversized packet directly to the portal's interface.
Let's dig into how that actually works under the hood for a second. A buffer overflow isn't just some generic glitch. The software allocates a specific amount of memory, a buffer, to hold the data coming in from that packet, like, say, the expected length of a username.
Exactly.
But this specific PAN-OS process just lacks proper boundary checking. When the attacker sends a packet containing a payload much larger than that allocated memory block, the excess data just spills over into adjacent memory spaces.
And that adjacent memory is absolutely critical because it often contains the instruction pointers.
The roadmap for the CPU.
Exactly. The pointers that tell the CPU what to execute next. By carefully engineering that overflowing data, the attacker literally overwrites the instruction pointer and redirects the CPU to execute their own malicious code.
Oh, man.
And because the specific portal process runs with root privileges on the PA series and VM series firewalls, the attacker instantly gains total control over the operating system of the firewall itself.
They own the perimeter.
They own it. They can alter routing tables, disable logging, create a completely invisible tunnel for data exfiltration, whatever they want.
It's like imagine a bank robber walking up to the bulletproof glass of a teller window. But instead of demanding money, they just hand the teller a piece of paper with a very specific, mind-altering, geometric pattern on it.
Right.
The teller looks at the pattern, their brain short circuits, and they blindly open the vault and just hand over the keys to the entire bank. No alarms, no broken glass, just a complete hijacking of the system's underlying logic.
That is a perfect way to picture it.
Now, looking at the risk metrics here, the CVSS score is a 9.3 if this portal is exposed to untrusted networks.
Yeah.
But the advisory notes that if access is restricted to trusted internal IP addresses, the severity drops to an 8.7. I gotta say, I'm struggling to see why an 8.7 is treated as a sigh of relief.
Well,
I mean, if they're already inside the network, an 8.7 still means total compromise of the internal routing architecture.
The distinction isn't really a sigh of relief. It's a difference in attack surface scaling.
Okay, how so?
A 9.3 means automated scanners can find and compromise your firewall from anywhere on the public internet, like within seconds. An 8.7 requires the attacker to have already breached another internal asset.
Like maybe an employee's laptop via a phishing email or something.
Right. And then they use that internal vantage point to pivot and attack the firewall. So it adds a layer of friction for the attacker. But you're absolutely right. The ultimate impact remains catastrophic. It's root control of the firewall either way.
Which brings us to the most concerning part of this Palo Alto disclosure. The advisory explicitly states there is no patch available until May 13th, 2026.
Yeah, that's the rough part.
Yet they simultaneously confirm this vulnerability is under limited exploitation in the wild. That is the ultimate nightmare scenario for a network admin.
It really is.
You have an actively exploited zero day on your perimeter device, and the vendor is literally telling you a fix is still days away. And you can't just unplug your enterprise firewall and halt all business operations.
What's fascinating here is the aggressive pivot to configuration-based mitigation, and honestly, how rapidly the federal government mandated those changes.
Right.
Palo Alto's immediate directive is to essentially remove the target from the attacker's line of sight entirely. You must restrict captive portal access strictly to trusted internal zones.
And if you can't do that?
If you do not have a hard business requirement for it today, disable it completely. This urgency actually prompted CISA to add CVE-2026-0300 to their known exploited vulnerabilities catalog on May 6.
Wow.
Yeah, and they mandated a federal fix by May 9. That 72-hour turnaround window is practically unheard of in federal circles.
It really highlights a critical reality, though. When the perimeter device itself is compromised, standard security best practices like minimizing the public exposure of management interfaces are basically your only remaining shield.
Exactly. You just have to hide it.
So once an attacker exploits a vulnerability like that Palo Alto flaw to shatter your perimeter, they don't just stop and admire their work.
No, the real work begins.
Right. They need to establish persistence inside your operating systems so they survive a reboot or a routine security sweep.
And that brings us to our second story.
Yeah.
The attackers are bypassing the network edge and going straight for the internal authentication nervous system of Linux servers.
We are tracking a highly sophisticated post-exploitation toolkit called Pamdora. It's currently making waves on the Rehelp Russian Cybercrime Forum.
Pamdora.
Yeah. And this isn't your standard malware dropper. It is a really specialized backdoor targeting the pluggable authentication module, or the PAM stack, in Linux environments.
To understand why targeting PAM is such a devastating move, we need to look at how Linux handles identity.
Right.
PAM is the central broker for authentication.
Mm-hmm.
It's this dynamic framework that lets administrators seamlessly plug in different authentication methods.
Right, like if you want to use biometrics or LDAP or just a standard password.
Exactly. When a user tries to log in via SSH, the system doesn't authenticate them directly. It hands the request over to PAM.
It acts as the bouncer.
Yeah.
PAM runs the credentials through a stack of shared libraries based on configuration files located in the etcpam.d directory, verifies the identity, and then tells the operating system whether to open the door.
And because PAM sits at this absolutely critical intersection, manipulating it offers an attacker unparalleled visibility.
Oh, I bet.
The most crucial detail here is that PAM modules process credentials before they are cryptographically hashed.
Wait, so...
This means the passwords flow through the PAM stack in absolute plain text.
Oh.
Yeah. Pamdora exploits this by targeting a specific module called pamxx.so, which, you know, is legitimately used to execute external commands during the authentication cycle.
So the attacker modifies the PAM configuration to load a malicious script via pamxx. Instead of replacing the entire authentication system, they're just splicing a wiretap directly into the communication line.
Exactly. It's a wiretap.
When a legitimate administrator logs into the server, the PAM stack operates normally. It validates their password, lets them in, but simultaneously that PAMxec module forks a hidden background process.
And that background process captures the plaintext password and quietly archives it. Or just exfiltrates it right then and there.
The system administrator has absolutely no idea their credentials were just carbon copied into an attacker's lockbox.
None. And credential harvesting is only half of Pandora's capability.
There's more.
Oh, yeah. It also establishes a persistent, incredibly stealthy backdoor.
Mm-hmm.
The malware binds a shell to a specific TCP port and configures what they call a magic password.
A magic password?
Yeah. If the attacker attempts to authenticate using this exact magic password, the compromised PAM module intercepts the request, bypasses the legitimate authentication checks entirely, and grants the attacker immediate root access.
That is wild.
It doesn't matter how many times you change the legitimate admin passwords, the magic password always works.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, though. Let's look at the dark web economics surrounding this tool.
Oh, this is fascinating.
The threat actor, who goes by the handle Darkworm, originally listed Pamdora on the Rehub forum for $1,600 back in mid-March.
Right.
But by April 9, so less than a month later, the price had been slashed to $900.
A massive discount.
Yeah. A nearly 50% price drop on an underground market usually screams that the tool is a scam. Or, you know, that antivirus engines have already caught up to it and rendered it useless.
Usually, yes.
But the researchers at Flare.io are calling this operator-grade tooling. I'm struggling to reconcile those two facts. Why devalue your own high-end malware?
It's a brilliant question, and it points directly to the mechanics of the cybercrime supply chain. Pandora is not an initial access vector.
Okay.
You cannot throw Pandora at a firewall to break in. It is strictly a post-exploitation tool. The attacker must already possess root privileges on the Linux server to modify those etc.not deconfiguration files in the first place.
Right, because you need root to touch PAM.
Therefore, Darkworm isn't selling to script kiddies looking for an easy hack. They are selling to initial access brokers.
The IBs.
Right. Highly sophisticated actors who have already breached networks and just want to establish deep, undetectable persistence before they turn around and sell that access to ransomware gangs.
So the total addressable market is actually much smaller. You have to already be a successful hacker to even use the tool.
Precisely. The price drop is likely a market saturation strategy. Darkworm wants to get this operator-grade tool integrated into the standard toolkits of these specific access brokers.
Volume over margin.
Exactly. And when Flare.io calls it operator-grade, they are referring to its anti-forensic capabilities.
Oh, it hides itself.
Pandora doesn't just steal passwords. It actively tampers with the authentication logs. It intercepts the syslog functions to methodically scrub any record of the magic password logins or the PAMEXEC anomalies.
It cleans up the crime scene in real time.
Literally as the crime is happening.
Wow. The practical takeaway for you listening is that standard perimeter defenses won't catch this once they are inside. You must actively audit your internal authentication pathways.
Yeah.
If you aren't running file integrity monitoring on your PAM configuration directories, an attacker could be sitting inside your OS right now, silently collecting every plaintext password used by your engineering team, with the logs wiped completely clean.
It's a terrifying thought. And we've looked at the compromise of the network perimeter, right? And the hijacking of the internal operating system.
Yeah.
Now, we have to look at the overarching software that manages massive fleets of these servers. Because when attackers want to scale their operations from a single compromised host to thousands,
they target the management control surfaces.
Exactly.
That brings us to our third and final development. The team behind cPanel and Web Host Manager, or WHM, has released emergency updates to patch three critical vulnerabilities. For context, cPanel and WHM are basically the industry standard interfaces for managing web hosting environments. If you operate a fleet of servers, this software holds the master keys.
It really does.
It provisions accounts, manages databases, controls DNS records, and handles security certificates across the entire infrastructure. It's the master control room of an apartment complex.
And the three newly disclosed flaws encompass the worst-case scenarios for a control panel: privilege escalation, remote code execution, and denial of service.
The unholy trinity.
Pretty much. Privilege escalation allows an attacker with a low-level restricted tenant account to break out of their sandbox and grant themselves global administrative rights over the entire WHM instance.
And remote code execution allows them to run arbitrary commands on the underlying server itself.
Exactly. Complete control.
cPanel has rapidly pushed out patches for their main branches, versions 120, 118, and 116.
Yeah.
But there's a very specific detail in this disclosure that, to me, reveals the sheer panic behind the scenes.
Yeah.
cPanel went out of their way to release a direct update version 110.1114 specifically for legacy customers still running CentOS 6 or Cloud Linux 6.
Yeah, that stood out to me too.
Releasing an emergency patch for an operating system that reached end of life years ago. That tells us that the attack surface is massively widespread, and the vendor knows legacy systems will be the first ones slaughtered.
It's an acknowledgement of reality. A significant portion of the internet's backbone still runs on legacy architecture that is notoriously difficult to migrate.
People just don't want to touch it if it's working.
Right. If cPanel left those CentOS 6 environments exposed, it wouldn't just be bad for those specific server owners. It would create a systemic crisis for the broader internet.
But I want to push back on the urgency of this specific alert for a second. The threat intelligence reports explicitly state there is currently zero evidence that these three new cPanel flaws are being exploited in the wild.
That's true.
So if the threat isn't active, why is this an immediate drop everything in patch scenario?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the urgency isn't about these three specific vulnerabilities in isolation. It's about the fact that the cPanel ecosystem is currently a massive active war zone.
Ah,
Just days prior to this disclosure, a completely different critical flaw in cPanel CVE 2026-4-1840 was heavily weaponized as a zero-day exploit.
They didn't even have a chance to warn people.
Exactly. Threat actors found that vulnerability and automated the exploitation before cPanel even had a chance to issue an alert.
And we know exactly what the attackers did with that zero-day access. They weren't quietly stealing data. They used the WHM root access to systematically drop variants of the Mirai botnet alongside a really disruptive ransomware strain dubbed Sari.
And that right there is why cPanel servers are the ultimate prize. These aren't, you know, vulnerable smart refrigerators or weak IoT webcams.
Right, they aren't home networks.
A cPanel server sits in a commercial data center. It has massive computing power, enterprise-grade storage, and guaranteed high bandwidth connections to the internet backbone.
So it's a super soldier for a botnet.
Exactly. When a threat actor infects a cPanel server with Mirai, they aren't just adding a foot soldier, they are adding a piece of heavy artillery. A single compromised cPanel server can generate an exponentially larger volume of malicious traffic for a distributed denial of service attack than thousands of compromised home routers combined.
So to circle back to my question, why the rush to patch these three new flaws if they aren't being exploited yet?
Yeah.
It's because the mechanism of vulnerability disclosure itself acts as a starter pistol for threat actors.
Exactly that. The blood is in the water. Attackers know that cPanel is an incredibly lucrative, viable target right now.
Yeah.
When cPanel releases a patch for a remote code execution vulnerability, sophisticated threat actors immediately download the new patched version of the software, and then they compare its underlying code against the older, unpatched version.
The process of patch diffing.
Yes. They analyze the binary differences to pinpoint the exact lines of code that cPanel altered to fix the flaw. Once they understand how the vulnerability was fixed, they just reverse engineer that knowledge to understand exactly how the vulnerability works in the first place.
And then they need a weapon.
They then write an automated exploit specifically designed to attack the unpatched logic. This process used to take weeks. Now, with advanced tooling, it takes hours.
Hours. That's terrifying.
If you haven't patched your WHM interface by the time they finish writing that exploit, your server will be forcefully conscripted into their botnet. Patch velocity is literally your only defense against the speed of reverse engineering.
So what does this all mean? Let's distill this down to the core operational takeaways for you.
Let's do it.
The overarching lesson from today's briefing is that the tools you rely on to manage your security are now the primary targets of the adversary. The gatekeepers are under active fire. To secure your environment today, you have three immediate directives. Number one, you must ruthlessly restrict network access to your management portals. If you are operating Palo Alto firewalls, ensure your captive portal is hidden from untrusted networks immediately because a patch isn't coming for days.
Number two, you need to actively monitor your internal authentication modules for unauthorized modifications.
Yep.
Pandora proves that attackers are burying themselves deep inside the Linux PAM stack, hijacking the PAM exec process to harvest plaintext credentials and systematically erase their tracks.
And number three, patch your server control surfaces with extreme prejudice. cPanel is directly in the crosshairs of ransomware and botnet operators right now. Delaying an update allows attackers the time to reverse engineer the patch and weaponize your own infrastructure against you.
This raises an important question, though. It's a conceptual challenge we all need to deeply consider as we design the next generation of network architecture.
Okay, I'm listening.
If the very infrastructure designed to keep attackers out our perimeter firewalls, our core authentication frameworks, our master control panels, are the exact mechanisms being continuously weaponized against us, how long until the fundamental concept of trusted security software becomes obsolete?
Oh, wow.
Must we abandon the idea that a security tool is inherently safe and start operating under the assumption that every single firewall or management interface we install is just a dormant threat waiting for a zero day to be discovered?
It is a chilling shift in perspective, but honestly, an absolutely vital one in today's threat landscape.
It really is.
A zero trust mentality cannot just apply to human users and endpoint devices anymore. It has to be rigorously applied to the security tools themselves. The watchers must be watched. I highly encourage you to mull that over as you review the architecture of your own environments today. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Keep your perimeters locked, audit your authentication logs, and push those patches. We'll see you next time.